Grace, mercy, and peace is yours from God, your Father, in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel from the fifth chapter of St. John, just read to you, particularly these words spoken by Christ for your eternal comfort. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. A startling fact, 1,000 years ago to this very day, the first All Souls Day services were held. Yes, that's right, November 2nd, 998 A.D. They were held in the Benedictine monasteries of the region of Cluny, which is now part of France. They were held because Abbot Odilo, who oversaw these monasteries, issued an order to cause them to be held. That order was entitled Statutum Odilonis Pro Omnis Defunctis, the order of Odilo concerning all the dead. Notice that wonderful Latin term for the dead, defunctis. Defunct. Abbot Odilo was concerned, actually, that too much attention had been lavished upon All Saints' Day. After all, it had been celebrated even since the second and third centuries of the church. He believed that not enough attention had been paid to the poor, common, everyday Joes of Christianity, including his monks, who were suffering in purgatory. He felt that they deserved their special day too. Why, in fact, his monks had already begun praying for their deceased brethren, hoping to get them out of this state. So what harm could an official declaration do? Plus, Odilo had become somewhat fixated upon that great canonical book, Second Maccabees. In that book, in chapter 2, these words are spoken about Judas Maccabeus, the Judas Maccabeus of the intertestamental age, and what he would do for the dead. And I quote from verse 45. But since he, Judas Maccabeus, had in view the wonderful reward reserved for those who died a godly death, his purpose was a holy and pious one. And this is why he, Joseph Maccabeus, offered an atoning sacrifice to free the dead from their sin. You see why 2 Maccabeus is often not cited from this pulpit. Yes, Judas Maccabeus and Abbot Odilo believed that something more than the atoning work of Jesus Christ was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And so Odilo issued his order, and hence on every November 2nd, since masses have been said in the Roman Church to free souls from purgatory. Hence our All Souls Day, translated into the language of LW as commemoration of the faithful departed. Pope Sylvester gave the day his official approval in the year 1003. Subsequent popes changed the date to fit the dedication of their pet building projects, whether it was monastery or whether it was cathedral. But by the 14th century, November 2 was regularized. Why, Pope Benedict in 1915 even gave his priests the right to say three masses on All Souls Day, given the large number of people who needed to be helped in their release from purgatory, and given the large number of people willing to pay for the same. Who says the church hasn't been sensitive to the felt needs of her people? Thanks to Odilo, many interesting practices developed around All Souls Day. The liturgical color of the day was black, quite a change from our white. People throughout the Roman world would prepare for weeks, cleaning up the gravestones, pulling the weeds. They would gather in the cemetery on All Souls Day Eve. They would light candles. They would pray for the souls of their departed. Priests would come in the night to bless graves with holy water. Why, in fact, in Brittany, men would even ride through the towns, waking everyone up in the middle of the night to remind them to pray for the souls of the dead. In Poland, people would take pieces of paper, edge them in black, and make a list of all their departed members, and then would take them to the priest to be blessed. In Puerto Rico, people would walk miles barefoot over rocks and thorns and thistles to carry flowers to decorate the graves of the dead. In northern Spain, people would bake and eat a special pastry called Huesos de Santo, Bones of the Holy. To this day, All Souls Day remains a public holiday for all these purposes in South America. What a tradition Odilo started. We might say, oh, what a dealo, Odilo. All this and the very celebration of this day in the church year because of false doctrine. The notion that in the words of 2 Maccabees, that there were masses necessary as atoning sacrifices to free the dead from their sin. All the while, our Lord clearly saying, he who hears my word and believes in me has eternal life. He has passed from death to life. But before we harsh out too long on Abbot Odilo and his followers and their false understanding of this day, what do you think this day is all about? How do you remember your mothers, your fathers, or some your children, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your parents, your grandparents who have died in the Lord? Do you remember them chiefly for what they did? Chiefly for what they did perhaps to you or for you? A special gift, a special time, a special project, perhaps even a special spanking? Do you remember them for what they did? Do you remember them principally for their personalities, for their accomplishments, for their fortunes, for their inheritance, or lack thereof which they left you? If so, perhaps you have little room to criticize our friend Abbot Odilo. Or instead, do you remember all the faithful departed for the faith that they had in Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one in whom they believed, the one into whom they were baptized, the one they fed upon, the one they listened to, the one they prayed to, the one they died in? Really, this day in our church year is misnamed. This is not the day of commemoration of the faithful departed. This is, in fact, the day of commemoration of those who have faithfully arrived, those who have arrived into the presence of Christ Himself, who have left their sinful bodies behind, who are truly resting from their labors in the one true rest itself, Jesus Christ. A rest beyond our most tranquil moments, a rest beyond our soundest sleep, a rest beyond our most peaceful times, a rest which is not only the absence of pain and suffering, but which is the presence of eternal bliss. A rest which you, by the grace of God, even in our harried lives today, can look forward to. And you know, the saints have arrived, and we shall arrive not because of the sacrificial masses of Abbot Odilo, but because God first arrived. He arrived here on earth. He arrived as the babe in Bethlehem. He arrived to a cesspool of disbelief, plain out meanness, and suffering. He arrived at a cross. He arrived at a tomb. He arrived at an upper room. And he arrived at the right hand of his Father. And he continues yet today arriving in this preached word, arriving at this table, arriving at that font. He arrives to make you numbered among those whom we commemorate today, you who have faithfully arrived. And he will arrive once again as we hear his voice, the only voice which ever has or ever will raise people from the dead. And he will arrive, and we will have arrived at that point in a new heaven and a new earth that only our foreparents, Adam and Eve, could ever even have imagined. You see, for you and for me, for all those who have gone before, for all those who sing with us in heaven now, the one sacrificial mass for all time and all places and for all people has already been offered, and that on a tree rather than an altar. Nice try, Abbot Odilo, but no banana. In fact, no Christ, no heaven. We'll keep your day, but dump your doctrine. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.